Jesus and Holy Insecticide Spray and Coil. Enjoy a holy sleep. My name is Samuel Kojo Brace. Up next is Newsnight.
And in the next 60 minutes here on Newsnight on Joy 99.7 FM, in Accra, debate on the State of the Nation address disrupted as the NPP minority opposes proposals to have more majority MPs speak compared to that of the minority side.
The NPP record of economic growth under Akufo-Addo is higher than what we came to meet under Mahama.
If we get three, we should get one.
It won't happen today, it won't happen tomorrow.
We cannot allot the time equally because we are not equal.
And of course, there's more unfolding. We have details from Parliament on day one of the 4 days of debate expected on the floor of the House. Also, the former Deputy Executive Secretary of the National Service Authority finally arrives in Ghana and is set to present herself to the National Investigation Bureau as part of ongoing inquiry into the NSS scandal.
Certain matters, in one way or the other, is within their right to pursue such. And if it means investigating, there should be no problem. What is important is to follow that due process. And once due process is being followed, why not?
You want to hear more from the minority leader, as the NPP minority in Parliament is calling for the application of due process in dealing with this matter. And in business,
Energy Minister John Jinapo warns of possible collapse of the sector if drastic measures are not taken now to save the situation, as he puts outstanding liabilities at over 80 billion Ghana cedis.
And it spores Heart of Oak and Kotoko questions Ghana Football Association decision to deny them access to their Investor of Ghana Stadium and the Barbara Sports Stadium, citing the stadium's inability to have enhanced safety protocols.
You want to stay for all of the details that we have coming up in sports, of course, as we talk about the stadia for you. But tonight, heavy security as well in terms of presence at Savannah College of Education after scores of students clashed with the police following demands for refund of their fees in protest against delays in the conversion from a private institution to that of a public one. And of course, we'll bring you details as the Savannah Regional Minister is assuring the school will not be closed down. In episode two of Crumbling Starts tonight as well, we're bringing you more as pupils of the Juanayili DA Basic School risk their lives every day in their pursuit of education, learning in a building best described as a death trap.
Actually, it's more or less a death trap. Because of that, when they break like this, we convey the furniture to the mango trees, so that it is the mango trees that we always have our classes.
It's Ghana month as well. The month of March is what we're dedicating to that. And of course, in the latest of the series today, we take you to the Ashanti Regional Capital, Mensah to be precise, as we explore the origins of the names and also the rich traditions of the Akwesi Dai Festival.
When Asantehene came and thanked the Tafo chief for giving him a place, statement he made was, "But for you, Tafohene, I wouldn't have got a place to stay." To wit, Mensah Wanka, Minya Bebintra.
Reasons why Why will they connect?
Each out.
You know, be say we won't make one our loved ones happy.
Daddy, thanks for the tea cash, okay? I love you.
That be my daughter, Angela.
Never could you. I mean, sure, why? The tea cash, naba. I know Papa, you know, that was it.
Say I go take care of my parents. It be my duty. Say make her pay my bills. And they use Telecel cash. The suppliers for my shop, there.
Hello, boss. I get a Telecel cash alert. Will they deliver the things right here,
or? And they make them happy because I pay them directly to the merchant number for any network talk. Then sort my people out with Telecel cash for free.
If one of family parties, then business partners, they happy.
It be they make one a connection strong.
Carry Telecel cash, send money, give your people for them a Telecel cash wallet store.
Any day,
anytime.
It be free.
Make you save money.
Tap cool.
Then make your menace smile.
Anytime you go carry Telecel cash, send them money.
Telecel, connecting energies.
Ajay. Couldn't sleep at night. Mosquitoes will be whining my ears. Bugging me all night long. Till I got a remedy. Now I'll be spraying them away with holy insecticide spray. I go spray them away with holy insecticide spray. When I sleep, I sleep. Me down on my back with holy insecticide spray.
Holy mosquito quell, holy multi-purpose insecticide spray. Ghana Chrome Chrome. For bulk purchase, call 0302 681582. This advert is FDA approved.
Nobody knows tomorrow. So if you're not prepared, anything can happen, no. But there is someone who cares. Are you? So let's be your safety net. Don't hear the empty and move. Our phone not dial it star 296. Hash. Family cover and all cover. Life is some way sometimes, but there is someone who cares. Are you? Be there for you and your family.
And indeed, on that note, you're listening to Newsnight here on Joy 99.7 FM with me, Blessed Guys, also live on Love 99.5 in Kumasi and affiliates across the country. Why don't we start off from Parliament? And what you're listening to now is drama on the debate of the State of the Nation address in Parliament, which has been disrupted. It follows the New Patriotic Party's minority's fierce opposition to the proposal to have more majority MPs speak because of the current numbers in the House. The majority side argued that it will be unfair to present the same number of debaters when they have just 187 members compared to that of the NPP's 88. We will be digging into the matter shortly. But first, though, this is how it actually started off with Isaac Adongo, MP for Bolga Central.
Mr. Speaker, it is only under this government that when Baomia digitalizes in Samanfo, Eji Kronufa, you digitalize to erase, to bring forth ghosts at national service. That is what your digitalization is about. Mr. Speaker, Baomia Bako in Samanfo Bebre. Mr. Speaker, we live in a country where after 8 years, some people cannot show us a completed functioning hospital. All they have are uncompleted projects and at various stages of completion. We have been hearing various stages of completions till 2017. When are you going to complete them? Of course, Baomia Bako, uncompleted projects be bringing. But Mr. Speaker, when you leave an economy that is struggling to pay its debts, you want us to invite you to a banquet? An economy where your debt strategy was to borrow recklessly, default in payment, and declare bankruptcy. Do you want the president to come smiling when he's delivering this gloomy picture that you have given him? If that amounts to lamentation, then so be it. Reckless to the point of finding it difficult to understand. And when you decide to put a stop to their recklessness, they call you a terminator. Mr. Speaker, unfortunately for them, the man who inherited their mess is a ruthless terminator. Mr. Speaker, John Mahama is a terminator of ghosts at NSA. I remember you were the information minister when you were trying to educate me on what is called Samurai Bond, Panda Bond, Century Bond. Mr. Speaker, these are the people. They were experts in bonds. When you ask Kojo, he said, oh, this is Samurai Bond. It is in Japan. They knew every corner where they were giving loans. Panda Bond. Kojo, are they still giving the Panda Bonds? They said something was called Century. Mr. Speaker, there was actually a bond called Century Bond. Century Bond. Mr. Speaker, Baomiya Bako bonds, baby. But what is even painful is that Omubobusiana Omuntia, Wafanunu Wajindi. They don't pay. This is Takashi debt management record.
Isaac Adongo, MP for Bolga Central, stoking that debate on the floor of the House with the former Defence Minister Dominic Nitiel insisting that President Mahama instead sought to paint the SWAL government black when he had no basis at all to do that.
The MPP record of economic growth under Akufo-Addo is higher than what we came to meet under Mahama. Mr. Speaker, the record of per capita income is higher than what we came to meet. Mr. Speaker, the record of agricultural growth is higher than what we came to meet. Mr. Speaker, the record of industrial growth under MPP Akufo-Addo is higher than what you came to meet. Mr. Speaker, the record of job creation is higher than what you came to meet. It's higher, ours, is higher than what we met. Mr. Speaker, the record of fiscal deficit is higher than yours. The record on primary balance, my sister will expatiate, is higher than yours. The record on trade balance is higher than yours. In fact, the record on current account balance is higher than yours. Mr. Speaker, the record of gross international reserves are higher than yours. Mr. Speaker, the MPC record of cumulative exchange rate depreciation is higher than yours. So, Mr. Speaker, when he describes this economy on the terms he has described, what will you describe the John Mahama economy? It's worse than Chaskele. If what you are describing that is so bad and all the major indicators of the economy is higher than what we came to meet, what we described your mama. In spite of that, he has become president again. And you think this side we cannot rule? When we compare the indicators, you don't compare. But Mr. Speaker, I read from the president when he says, I have not come here to lament the state of our country. Though there's much to lament, I understand why I was elected with such high voter confidence to solve their problems. That's what the president said, that it is not his task to lament and to shift blame. But unfortunately, 80% of the speech was to lament and to speak blame.
And that's the former Defence Minister Dominic Nitiel. We can now take you to Parliament because after this whole back and forth between the majority and minority, then there was the issue of the disruption. Kwiku, I'm wondering how this occurred.
Well, right after the next NDC MP spoke, the first deputy speaker who was presiding decided to call the next NDC MP so that it would have been two NDC MP speak and then one NPP MP speak. But then, as though they were choreographed, almost every single NPP MP who was on the floor rose to their feet, shouting that they were not going to allow that. Ultimately, their leader, Alexander Afenyo-Markin, made their case, insisting they would never allow any idea that more NDC MPs will speak compared to them on the floor.
Equal opportunity. Equal opportunity. Equal opportunity. Mr. Speaker. It's guaranteed. Mr. Speaker. We will not. I repeat, we will not accept, allow the majority to use its numbers to intimidate us. Mr. Speaker, they should know that they are not going to be in this majority forever. Today, the Minister of Education, Harun Edrisu, is in this house and his side is proposing this. Hey, Haruna. Hey, Haruna. Hey, Haruna. And Mr. Speaker, Honorable Mahama Yariga, who was the de facto legal advisor to the Atuforsen leadership, is today saying that if he gets three, we should get one. It won't happen today, it won't happen tomorrow.
Well, there's a lot more happening on the floor of the House. And quick question to our parliamentary correspondent. You might want to stay on a bit for us. The Speaker himself is who I want to talk about. Alban Bagbin has promised some swift and decisive action against now an unknown MP who described MP for Kolekhlote Zanetto Ajiman Rawlings as a daughter of a murderer, as we are learning of. The comments drew anger and also condemnation from a section of the public, despite the identity of the MP not being known. Well, delivering a formal communication, as we know it, on the matter after receiving a petition from some traditional leaders, Alban Bagbin condemned the comments and said the unknown MP will be fished out. And quick, we'll be getting to the Speaker shortly. But before that, you might want to conclude on the Majority Leader who has, of course, spoken about the means by which this whole controversy surrounding the numbers will be resolved.
Well, yes, Blessed. According to the Majority Leader, they do not believe that given that they have 187 MPs on the floor and the NPP side have only 88, it would not make any sense for them to have the same amount or the same number of debaters on any matter on the floor, and so they will not give in to the minority's demand.
The business committee met, and our own standing order says one of the responsibilities of the business committee is to allot time for debate. And we agreed that we were going to debate for 4 days. 4 days. And for each of the days, there will be 10 contributors. So if you multiply 4 by 10, that will be 40. This side of the House, represented at the committee meeting by 4 members, proposed that we should share the time equally. They will take 20 and this side will take 20. So each day, 5 people on this side and 5 people on our side. And our side said no, we cannot allot the time equally, because we are not equal. We are not equal.
And that's how the Majority Leader then, of course, concluded on the matter. Then the Speaker comes through on the floor of the House, speaking about what transpired and how the MP for Kolekhlote Zanetto Ajiman Rawlings was described in some unprintable words. Well, why is the Speaker concerned about this, Kwiku? Kwiku Asante, I hope you can hear me. We can listen to the Speaker of the House. And Kwiku, if you're with me, the reason for which the Speaker is concerned about this comment?
Well, yes, you will recall that in February, those comments were allegedly made on the floor by a member of parliament who has not been unmarked yet. No one knows who exactly that person is for certainty. The Speaker of Parliament is condemning those commentary in no uncertain terms. It's clear that that was not covered by the privileges and immunities of the House. He condemns it in strongest terms.
In the course of the parliamentary proceedings on 4th February this year, an honourable member of this House was subjected to an unwarranted, unjustified, and deeply offensive, reckless remark, or being referred to as, for want of a better way to convey the remark, quote, the daughter of a murderer. I apologize for having to even repeat it. The unsavory remark was uttered off microphone from a seat of the minority side of the House in reference to the honorable member. Media footage available indicates that during this attempt to speak, the unsavory remark was uttered off microphone from a seat of the minority side of the House in reference to the honorable member. Such conduct is dishonorable, and I strongly condemn it as a behavior unbefitting of a member of parliament. Such a member, when found guilty of defamation or in contempt of parliament or in breach of parliamentary privilege, would be liable to be reprimanded or by resolution suspended from the service of Parliament for a period not exceeding 9 months, or expelled from Parliament altogether. Let me be clear. Parliament is a place for constructive debate, guided by principles of mutual respect and integrity.
And so the directive there from the Speaker of the House, Alban Kingsford Bagbin. Earlier you had Parliamentary Affairs Correspondent Kwikwa Asante giving us the latest on the floor of the House. But today the entire, space on Facebook and X, as well as other social media spaces, have been, fraught with this whole story about the former Deputy Executive Secretary of the National Service Authority, Gifty Owari-Mensa, who has finally arrived in the country but is yet to present himself to the National Investigation Bureau as part of the ongoing inquiries into the National Service scandal. The scandal, which reportedly includes the insertion of some ghost names on the NSA payroll, is reportedly costing the state a staggering 50 million cedis each month. Minority Leader Alexander Afenyo-Umarkin, who met up with the former NSA deputy boss today, indicated that they will insist the law is allowed to work in this manner. Well, I caught up with him at the Kotoka International Airport earlier today.
I'm aware that Gifty arrived this afternoon. I've been in touch with her. She's here in Ghana. She arrived this afternoon. Her lawyers are in touch with the National Investigation Bureau, and I'm sure that she's going to make herself available. And then whatever the state investigation authorities have, they would have to pursue within due process of law. I do not think that
there's witch hunting going on.
Well, I would not rush in drawing certain conclusions. My view is that MPP is not against accountability, me inclusive. We've been in public service, we are out of office. Obviously, if the new government needs former officials to explain certain matters in one way or the other, it's within their right to pursue such. And if it means investigating, there should be no problem. What is important is to follow that due process. And once due process is being followed, why not? I mean, after all, once you get into public office, you must all be mindful that any day...
convincing to bring her back into the country?
No, the person was not running out. She was on holiday. You know, this era of social media. And even some people were saying that there is whatever. I don't want to get it wrong.
Right.
You know this thing where they put travel embargo on her. There were all manner of rumors. But she came, all right? She came when she boarded, she told me. She came, she got to the airport. She went through the immigration processes. And then she's home now.
I understand she's been questioned.
No. Nobody harassed her, in all fairness. And that's what I'm saying, that sometimes the social media thing, people say all manner of things. But as far as I'm concerned, she hasn't been harassed by any state
she's been cautioned.
Authority.
She's been cautioned.
No,
or questioned or perhaps.
No, she hasn't even been to the NIB office.
So she's on, but the agreement is from the lawyers that, well, she needs to provide some answers.
Listen to me. I'm having patience for you. So let's set the right tone. I'm saying that she did not run away from the jurisdiction. She had traveled out. She traveled out freely. She came back to Ghana. She's entered the country freely. However, the NIB officials reached out to me and that they needed her. They have also reached out to her lawyers, and the lawyers have been in that discussions with them. Today she's in town. She will make herself available. Whatever that they have to ask of her, I'm sure she'll be able to deal with it. And I'm saying that nobody has harassed her, as far as I'm concerned, because I've been following, engaging her, and so far, nobody has harassed her. So let's forget about all these social media things.
Leader, I'm asking the question because she's on the oral list.
Saying is that she would make herself available.
When would that be?
Please, that is for her and her lawyers to engage the NIB. Don't let us subject these things to media and social media and all manner of talks. Let's allow due process of law to take effect. I think that is what
there's a feeling out there that the NPP is shielding the former officials.
Who are they shielding? So far, whoever they invited has made, those they invited have made themselves available. Shield them for what? You get my point. I have told the officials that they can reach out to some of us. Sometimes this whole Rambo style thing, it doesn't help. If you want to invite somebody, you can invite the person. The person is a public official. There should be no problem. Person comes with his lawyer or decide that I do need a lawyer, come answer questions. If the person has to be bailed, is bailed. If the state needs the person for further investigation, arrangement is made. I think that is what is required within the laws of.
And leader, finally, going forward, we know that there are more officials expected back in the country, including the case of the former finance minister. Are we also expecting him to?
I'm sorry, I'm not his lawyer. Yeah,
but you have assured.
But I'm sure you've read correspondence between himself and the OSP. Just rely on that without more.
But the assurance is he'll be back.
Well, you've seen a communication from his lawyers. What more do you need?
And we await what the lawyers of the former finance minister will tell us. But that's the minority leader, Alexander Penyomarkin. Well, the minister of state in charge of government communications, Felix Kwachiofusu, has been weighing in on the developments.
Total the period that this has been going
50 million.
50 million is every month. So this is clear fraud that cannot be countenanced. Unfortunately, some of the people involved are said to have absconded. There are some who have gone into countries knowing that we do not have a non-surrender agreement, extradition agreements with them. They've gone there specifically to evade justice, but steps are being taken to ensure that they are brought back. But at least two people have now been held, they've been questioned, and a due process will take place. The basis upon which the attorney general will go to court is the fact that he is convinced that there's wrong, otherwise he won't go and waste it. When you see the letter, you bring a letter for 180,000 people to be paid. And we are not talking about the beginning of national service. This is several months down the line. You cannot allege that, okay, you thought 180 people were close, but they didn't show up. And then when you ask for a head count, you get almost half the figure.
Government Communications Minister Felix Kwachiofusu is time now to take you up north. There are some disturbing scenes where one person has been confirmed injured after scores of students of the Savannah College of Education clashed with the police this afternoon following the refund of their fees. The students yesterday locked up lecture halls and also boycotted all academic activities, vowing to confront any lecturer who attempts to enter the school. The situation, as we understand, is degenerating. Savannah Regional Correspondent Isaac Nonya is joining us on the telephone lines now for more. Isaac, let us in on the issue about the students, because earlier they marched to the principal's office, and I'm just wondering what they were demanding there.
Yes, apart from their demand for the full disclosure of the college status as public or private, they also made a demand of a refund of their fees, which is about almost 4,400 something Ghana cedis to them. This is a situation that the principal didn't find it easy. Because the first lady have admitted, and then getting the money for you doesn't mean that they are not capable of delivering their mandate. So that was why the principal tried to explain to them that they are putting this in place, and very soon the college will be absorbed properly as a public institution.
In terms of the atmosphere now, I'm wondering how situation is on campus.
Yes, currently there are police presence because what happened earlier, the police were taken by surprise when they took them. The student made a demand to get the principal on campus to speak to him, so the police went there to provide him security, but they were taken unaware when the police officer was attacked and sustained injury on the head. So the police were able to mobilize more men And with the presence of the police commander, he was able to restrain the officers from taking any action on the students on campus.
I see. But in terms of the principal himself, he's been addressing some of the concerns of the students. Is there any clear roadmap or perhaps punitive measures, what the way forward will be? Do we know any updates on that?
Yes, the principal was very clear to the student about the way forward, the roadmap leading to what they are requesting for. Let's take a listen to him when he was telling the student.
You showed maturity and went to the overlord of the place. You went to Osegura and went to lay your complaint. Bear in mind that the presence of Ghana is from the region. I've heard you cry. What I will need from you is prayer. Don't forget that if you overreact, you are concerned might not be genuine. It's not when you overlord and complain. The overlord has gone to the government. He has not a chance to happen.
Yes, President, you cannot bring any results.
And still it's a tense atmosphere requiring some, you know, heightened interventions. I'm wondering if the Regional Security Council is intervening now. How about the likes of the chairperson of that committee or the council at the regional level? I'm talking about the sector minister. Is there any indication what will be done from that level, Isaac?
Yes, Blessed. The RESET is very emphatic about the matter. The regional minister today told us that government was on top of the issue, but they are trying to liaise with the proper institution that will lead the process to ensure that the college attains a full public statute and those all workers there were absorbed and properly paid by government. So let's listen to the regional minister after the interview.
But we are making sure that we'll get the Savannah College application absorbed as quick as possible. And before they graduate, they will be graduating in a public institution. Let me give that kind of assurance. So all my brothers and sisters, all students who actually love the college and want to support the development of their own education, they should lay down their arms, they should come, trust this current administration, better by Sister Yondrama Roma. We shall get the things succeed.
Oh, Demata, there is no need closing down the school for now.
There is no need closing down the school. We are working earnestly on that. And I can reassure them that the school need not be closed down. We will definitely get the process complete.
And that's Swale Wirubi, who's the Minister for the Savannah region. Grateful to you, Isaac Nonya, for bringing us updates from up north and down south. We're looking at the economy and, of course, stakeholders dialoguing as we speak at the Accra International Conference Centre. Of course, the man who's been on that beat interacting with all the stakeholders is here to give you a gist of that, plus more. But I'm just wondering, if you've also sent your memo to the National Economic Team, George.
No, I mean, the good thing is that the bit about the communique was...
Because you know too well about the economy.
It was read soon by Ishmael Yamsen, the vice president, actually gave her closer remark. There's still some little discussions ongoing now, but today they brought that meeting to an end and we'll be hearing more from the finance minister.
Dr. George.
The finance minister on the assurance that they will use the recommendations coming from this meeting. Also, the energy minister, John Jinapo, warns of possible collapse of the sector if drastic measures are not instituted to save the situation, as he puts outstanding liabilities at more than 80 billion Ghana cedis. Bank of Ghana governor sets to publicize votes of members of the Monetary Policy Committee meetings on rate review as part of measures to open up the operations and workings to the public. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. Kingdom Books and Stationery Synthes Tanks and Pepsodent, Herbal and Charcoal.
Son, we are so proud of you for setting up this hospital. I really love those hospital beds and waiting chairs. By the way, did you import them?
No, Dad, I didn't. I actually got them from Kindle Books and Stationery right here in Ghana.
Wow. We also bought our office supplies, safes, executive desks and chairs from Kingdom, and they gave us expert advice on how to set up our office.
Guys, that makes three of us. I also got our sofa and bedroom sets, plus our dining hall furniture for our new home from Kingdom.
Wow, Mom, that makes four of us. I usually get my stationery items from Kingdom, and my teacher also mentioned that our classroom furniture was provided by Kingdom.
So there you have it. Whenever you're thinking about setting up an office or acquiring furniture for your home, etc., Kingdom Books and Stationery should be your first point of call. With over 40 years' experience in the industry, we stock and supply a wide variety of globally sourced office and home furniture, stationery and equipment. Visit our head office, Osu Akwaje, or our office near the Osu Stadium. We're also in Tema Community 1, opposite Olam SHS, Kumase KNUSD Campus, UCC Cape Coast, and now at the Marina Mall, Airport City. Or call us 0302-764101, 764209, or 762792. Visit our website, www.kingdomgh.com.
Your preferred retirement partner, Apex Trustee, offers you an unmatched pension administration service that guarantees a cheerful life of retirement for both formal and informal sector workers. Our Progress Occupational Pension Scheme, the Progress Provident Fund Scheme, and the Progress Personal Pension Scheme will help you achieve financial peace of mind during retirement. Apex Trustee provides employer-sponsored schemes, including staff welfare schemes, seeking to outsource the day-to-day administration of their second-tier occupational pension and third-tier Provident Fund schemes. Start the quality lifestyle journey you envisage for your retirement now. Call us on 0504-368048 or 0256-793330. Apex Trustee, a joyous retirement begins here.
You're welcome back to Business on Newsnight. Now, coming up, Energy Minister John Jinapor is warning of possible collapse of the sector if drastic measures are not taken now to save the situation. It follows revelation that the sector is saddled with huge debt threatening the operations of some producers and distributors in that space. But speaking of the high-level dialogue on the sidelines of the just ended national economic dialogue, the minister noted that the development calls for some actions to be taken now.
Today I had a briefing and the outstanding liabilities so far is about 80 billion.
Wow.
And it keeps increasing. 80 billion cedis. That's outstanding liabilities. And so today if you were to put the energy sector back on its toes, you would have to cough up 80 billion flush out the outstanding liabilities. Clearly that's unsustainable, but even more worrying is the mounting liabilities. Assuming you were to deal with only 80 billion, then that wouldn't be the major problem. The major problem is that we have a total bill of about $175 million every month, especially with the power sector. The collection is less than 100 million. And so even going forward, if nothing is done, you're going to be incurring about $70 million every month as a shortfall or liability. And so that for me is a major issue. I take three things that I think we should be looking at. The first one has to do with ensuring that there's a high level of discipline and efficiency in the sector.
And that is the Energy Minister, John Jinapor, speaking at the National Economic Dialogue. Meanwhile, the conference has ended with push for some drastic reforms. Let's hear from the chairman of the dialogue, that is Ishmael Yamson, giving us some focus areas that need some attention right now.
We emphasize the need to, one, structure and institutionalize a platform for sustained government-private sector engagements. Two, enhance the African awareness and provide hands-on support to businesses to maximize trade opportunities. Three, direct a portion of banks' cash reserve requirements toward credit creation and provide tailored financing. And four, fast-track company registration and licensing with strict adherence to seven-level agreements to secure timely approvals.
And that is the Dr. Ishmael Yamson gives us some update of some portions of the communique that he read at the National Economic Dialogue. Meanwhile, the Finance Minister, Dr. Atoforsen, has given the firm assurance that these recommendations will be factored in the budget that will be presented next week.
What I would like to say is that beginning 11th of March, the government will introduce the 2025 budget statement and economic policy. Most signs you've raised, you begin to see them in the budget. But don't leave the government alone. We call on you to support the government in educating the public, for the public to understand that the time has come for us to reset and reform the economy. We got to do this together. And so clearly,
and that is the Finance Minister, Dr. Atoforsen. Now, the Bank of Ghana is set to publicize votes of members of the Monetary Policy Committee on the rate review. Now, they will also release the reasons for their direction and views on the economy. Now, this is part of several measures that the Bank of Ghana will be introducing to make the operations open to the public. The Governor of the Bank of Ghana, Dr. Johnson Isiema, disclosed this on the sidelines of the National Economic Dialogue today.
What we are going to be doing now is individual members' submissions will be published.
Wow.
And that is going to happen from this month.
Okay.
So you get to understand the basis for which actions were taken.
Wow.
And for me, that is at the core of what we do. We want the academia, we want the media, we want the private sector themselves to understand that we are in the same boat. You know, sometimes you need to increase the rates not because you don't want to see lower lending rates. You want to see lower lending rates, but where there is a risk, for example, to the exchange rate, where there is a risk in terms of your inflation path, then you have to, go on that tangent.
Governor of the Bank of Ghana, Dr. Johnston Isiema, speaking at the high-level dialogue meetings on the sidelines of the National Economic Dialogue. Now, MTN Mobile has teamed up with Salam Alliance and IO Ghana to provide life insurance coverage for its Momo agents. Chief Commercial Operations Officer at Mobile Money Limited, Abdulrazak Isak Ali, has been speaking more to Joy Business about this initiative and partnership.
And we're able to come up with a new insurance policy that seeks to actually benefit the agents a lot more and also goes beyond just a life insurance policy, but to offer other benefits or other claims in terms of other permanent disability. The type of claim, what you will get varies. So, for example, if it's a death, next of kin will get 20,000 cedis. If it's a permanent disability, you can get up to 25,000. If it's hospitalization, you can claim up to 5,000. And then for critical illness, you can get up to 10,000.
And that is the Chief Commercial Operations Officer at Mobile Money Limited, a subsidiary of MTN, Abdulrazak Isak Ali, there with that update on an insurance package for mobile money agents. And that is all for business on Newsnight. We are doing sports now.
Yeah, George, what happened? What happened with the 8 cedis, you know, dollar was to 8 cedis for a moment?
I think it was something that more of a mistake on the part of Google. Okay. I mean, this is more of an algorithm that is written, and sometimes a little mistake somewhere brings up all these things. But if you talk about the rates, it's still, if you should go to the Forex bureaus, you are likely to be sold to you at 16 Ghana cedis. If you're dealing with the commercial banks when it comes to transactional rates, they don't sell dollars to you as an individual. For purposes of transaction, paying an LC on your behalf, you're looking at somewhere around 15 Ghana cedis, 70 pesos or 75 pesos.
All right, well, so that's it. But now, Heart of Oak and Asante Kotoko, they've expressed concerns over the Ghana Football Association's, you know, reported decision to ban the Babara Sports Stadium in Kumasi and the University of Ghana Stadium in Accra due to their failure to meet enhanced safety requirement. But club clubs have questioned the rationale behind the ban, arguing the decision could have significant implication for their matches as well as the overall running of the Ghana Premier League. They are seeking further clarification from the GFA, emphasising the need for a fair and transparent process in assessing stadium safety standards. Well, the chairman of Asantekotoko Interim Management Committee, Nana Aprinka, been speaking to some media houses in Kumasi, and he said on quote that if Baba Yara does not meet the requirements, then where else are we supposed to go? This is our home and we have no other place to play our games. We will play at Baba Yara Stadium. And for the public relations officer of Heart of Oak, Opariado, he's been speaking also to Happy FM in Accra here, where he stated that he does not want to single out any venue out of respect, but he said that if Legon Stadium doesn't meet the standards, then there are GPO venues that don't even meet half of what Legon has. He says he's calling for fairness when it comes to some of these decisions. Well, Blessed, coming up tonight is a big game between Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid in the round of 16 of the Champions League there. And Real Madrid, of course, hosting Atletico Madrid in the first round of the games. Carlo Ancelotti has been speaking. He says that his style and his tactics for the game will remain unchanged.
It doesn't change a lot. Of course, we have to take in consideration the characteristic of the team, the opponent team. Atletico is more vertical. Maybe you can use more than City the counter-attack. City has a game with less possession from our side, and so we have to take in consideration this, but we don't have to change our style, our mentality, and our approach to the game.
Carlo Ancelotti there. Well, not just Real Madrid vs Atletico, but PSV will also be hosting Arsenal. Dortmund will play Lille, and currently ongoing is the game between Club Brugge and Arsenal. Aston Villa, beg your pardon. That game is currently 1-1 over there. Yeah, Blessed. So, but we've got commentary for you on here. It's 103.9 FM, so you can make a day.
Yeah, and many would not want to place a bet on it now because the tax is certainly effective. Thanks, Musbal, for the latest in the world of sports. We can now take you back north because pupils of the Janaile DA Basic School in the Nanumba North Municipality of the Northern Region risk their lives every day in a queue to quench their thirst for education. Their school is a ticking time bomb, learning dangerously with deep cracks on the verge of collapse. When it rains, teachers stay away, fearing disaster. Yet children like Joseph and also Pagri Brave, the downpour, clinging on the hope of education. But their dream of learning has become a gamble now with death. Emmanuel Jivenu has more in the latest on our series, Crumbling Start.
Juan Nyanyele, a farming community in the Nanumba North Municipality of the Northern Region, is soaked in rain. It is 8 in the morning and the streets are still quiet. For the children of Juan Nyanyele, these rains are more than just natural occurrence. It is a barrier to their education. This is Juan Nyanyele DA Basic School, a 3-unit mud block that has long passed its prime. It leans precariously with deep cracks threatening to collapse at any moment. Yet, this fragile structure is where the foundation of the education begins or ends. There is nobody in sight, and it appears there will be no school today. However, in my quest to satisfy my curiosity, I entered one of the classrooms. There, I met these siblings.
How are you?
I'm fine.
What's your name?
My name is Pam Bandelam.
Which class are you in?
B4.
Who's that?
My name is Pico Pamba.
Okay, how are you?
Yeah, fine. Thank you. Fine.
Joseph and Pigri braved the rain, arriving drenched, hoping school day will still begin. Pigri, the youngest, is visibly shivering from the cold weather. Her brother could not look on, so he removed his wet shirt to cover his sister in an attempt to provide her with some warmth. But their determination meets despair. The rain keeps pouring, and the building offers little solace. It is a chilling irony These children seek knowledge, yet their shelter could collapse at any moment. The absence of teachers and students leaves the classrooms to the animals. With no doors or windows, the school serves as a refuge for livestock instead of children. The state of the school reflects the neglect suffered by the community's youngest learners. I'm curious to know how classes are held here when it rains. Unfortunately, the head teacher is miles away, sheltering from the rain like everyone else, so I decided to reach him on phone. He paints a grimmer picture of what learning in this structure looks like.
Okay, am I talking to the head teacher?
Yes.
You are in your school, will you be coming to school today?
It is still raining. So if it is raining at that place, I don't think they can also go because they will not come out. The children cannot come to the school and the teachers too cannot go.
We have two of them here.
Oh, and you have two of them?
Yes, and they are waiting for the teachers to come and teach them.
To come and teach them?
Yes.
Is it not raining at that place? So how do you do? If you go with your books, won't it swell?
I want to know the challenges in your school.
Okay, we have a lot of challenges. I'm talking about the building, the school building.
And that's the stark reality there in the Junior Lili DA Basic School in the Nanumba North Municipality with my colleague Emmanuel Givenu, painting that stark reality to us. It's a good time now to speak to Patrice Sicho Egbadewa, who's joining us now. Thank you so much, sir, for your time. He's the Director of Education in the Nanumba North Municipality. And at this point, of course, the DA Basic School we're talking about is literally a death trap, yet children are forced to learn in it. I'm just wondering, what has your office been doing so far, and why have you allowed the situation to pester for so long?
Okay, good evening. Thank you, and then good evening to your listeners. The directorate has been duly informed by the situation of the school, Juan Aili Primary School. Juan Aili is a big community with people enrolling from KG to P6 of about 294. It has become necessary they house them in that three-unit mud block, which is looking now more of a trap than any other thing. When it happened, when the directorate was informed, there is a process by which the school will have to write to the directorate, to the district assembly, for an action to be taken. Yes, the school did, and then the district assembly was duly informed. My checks with the outgoing MCE of Nanumba North indicated that at the time, somewhere around the year 2020, the MPE was informed, and the community demanded for help. So the MPE gave quite a substantial amount of money to the community to be used to pay attention to the site that has the break, so that they could pull that part down and then raise a new structure to make it more safety. But at the end of the day, we don't know where the money has been diverted to.
I see. And that's why, of course, many are concerned now and wondering what the way forward will be. But can you now assure parents and also the public that something indeed will be done immediately? And if so, what specific actions should we expect in the coming days?
All right. Specifically, we have...
But we're just hopeful that indeed something will be done in the coming days, because the situation in this particularly, the school we are talking about, that's Jona Yele DA Basic Schools, is just not anything to write home about. And of course, fortunately, the Director of Education is joining us back. You were just talking about the way forward, what to expect in the coming days. Apologies, we lost you briefly.
Thank you. We have instructed that they house the primary 1 to 6 under 3s. For safety, and then for their lessons. Then for the KG, we are holding them in and use teachers' quarters for their lessons for now. And then we are also still appealing to the district assembly to immediately come to their aid. That is what we have done so far.
But a bit of clarity on that. Is it the case that you're mindful of, you know, exposing these children to the vagaries of the weather?
Understand when it's raining season, that is how it becomes in Juana Eli. And then again, the same community suffers perennial water challenges. So it also affects teachers' stay in the community. So it's our hope that as we push for a better structure, some kind of attention also be paid to water in the community there to make sure our children are safe. Thank you.
It's such a touching story, but we're hoping that indeed the measures you are outlining now will definitely yield some fruits for the Juana Eli DA Basic School, where a crumbling start, our series on focusing on education, has exposed the dire situation for many out there. Patrice is the Director of Education there in the municipality. Hopeful that some help will come your way. Grateful for your time here on Newsnight, and it's time to come home, or perhaps to the capital, Accra, where the Ministry of Foreign Affairs says passports will now be issued in just 3 days to any applicants travelling for this year's Hajj, as preparations begin for the sacred Islamic pilgrimage to Mecca in Saudi Arabia. Travel documentation process and other bottlenecks have become a challenge to many prospective pilgrims. But in a bid to ensure seamless and safe migration this year, the Foreign Affairs Minister Samuel Okudzeto-Ablakwa has rolled out a number of measures targeted at easing the process. It starts with the expedited passport services. There's more in the following report. Over 4,000 Ghanaian pilgrims are expected to travel to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia for this year's Hajj. Due to the increased demand for passports, especially for first-time pilgrims, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Regional Integration is rolling out a number of travel-friendly interventions to ease the burden for the Muslim community. Part of that intervention includes an expedited passport service, which the Foreign Minister Samuel Okudzeto-Ablakwa explains will be pegged at a particular fee for expedited services.
So we will continue to expand the frontiers to challenge ourselves so that everybody can get a convenient service. So, as I prepare to take my seat, remember the key indicators about this intervention. Number one, everything will be done here, one-stop shop. You are not going to be asked to go to any other office. Everything will be done here. Number two, we are going to issue passports within 3 days. 3 days, we are not exceeding that. It can even be under 24 hours, 48 hours, but not more than 72 hours. And we want you to know about that. 3 days maximum. Then number three, we have said that the fee is the same ordinary fee charge of 500 cedis. There is no special fees for expedited service, no extra charges.
Passport applications are often fraught with the activities of middlemen known as guru boys, who often extort from the unsuspecting public. In a bid to curtail such occurrences, chairperson of the interim Hajj board, Alhaji Collins Dauda, explained that only persons with proof of payment for this year's Hajj will be given the opportunity for expedited passport service.
And of course, except of that report there, we need to go, but we can't go without talking about our Ghana Month series, because Mensah, as we know, it is the soul of Asante Man, a timeless symbol of power, tradition, and also prestige. Nestled in the heart of Kumasi, it is more than a town. It is the throne of the Ashanti royalty. As part of our Ghana Month series, Irabina Akoye unravels the mystery behind the name Mensah and also explains the rich traditions of the Akwesedai festival.
The town is home to the Mensah Palace, the seat of the Asante monarch, the Asante Hene. The palace harbors the identity, rich culture, and fascinating history of the Asantes. Monarchical historian Osebo Susafokantanka shares the history of the Mensah town and palace.
When Asante Hene came and thanked the Tafo chief for giving him a place, the statement he made was, "But for you, Tafo Hene, I wouldn't have got a place to stay." To which, Mensah Wanka, Minya Bebintra, that brought about the name Mensah.
The biggest events that draws the largest crowd to Mensia are the Akwesi Day and Ade Festival. Celebrated every 6 weeks on a Sunday, the Akwesi Day Festival brings together the Ashanti people and others from across Ghana and the world to celebrate culture and pay homage.
We have two words put together to give us the name Akwesi Day. That is Akwesi, somebody or something named on Sunday. Ade is a sleeping place. The Ade is a special day set aside to offer prayers to the Almighty God through our ancestors. So the ancestors are believed to be our saints. They are in the spirit, so they can carry the message faster to the Almighty God than we, the ordinary human beings.
And when you hear that sound, you do know that it is indeed a timeless symbol of power, tradition and prestige, with the latest coming through from Mensha in the latest series of our Ghana Month. You should be expecting more, but it is also the month of women, and that's why we're talking about women in tech later on Geek Squad coming up at Dubia, right?
Yes, that's correct. We are going to have someone inspire us. And so everyone should just make time with us this evening as we talk about what Akwesia is doing in the tech space.
Okay, and we're on the lookout for that. Just stay here on Joy 99.7 FM. But that's it for Newsnight with me, Blessed Zugna. For more news, log on to myjoyonline.com. More coming up shortly here on Joy 99.7 FM. Grateful for your time.
The Chief Information Security Officers Summit, which is the ultimate gathering for cybersecurity professionals. Join us for this much anticipated event on April 9th and 10th, 2025 at the Labadi Beach Hotel, Accra. This year's theme is Proven Strategies for Global Cyber Executive, Maximizing Organizational Security and Efficiency. Come and gain valuable insight, explore cutting-edge solutions, and connect with top cybersecurity experts, service providers, and innovators from all around the world. Register now for just 5,000 Ghana cedis. Elibet goes for a full 4,800 Ghana cedis. Remember, deadline for Elibet is on the 14th March 2025. You can also get a group discount for three or more registrations from any company. Don't miss out on this game-changing event. Visit www.thecisosummit.com or call 057-2760-472 to register today.
The station with the best music. Best music.
I love music.
Best music.
Joy 99.7 FM.
Keep the frequency clear.
We bring you joy on the airways. We bring you joy, lighting up your night. Cool your day. So when you feel to do is tune on the power on your radio, tune in, get joy in stereo.
We lead, others follow. This is joy.
Joy 99.7 FM.
Like a small boat on the ocean, sending big waves into motion, like how a single word can make a heart open. I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion. And all those things I didn't say were wrecking balls. Everybody's worried about me. In too deep, say I'm in too deep. And it's been 2 years, I miss my home. But there's a fire burning in my bones. Still believe, yeah, I still believe. And all those things I didn't say, wrecking balls inside my brain. I will scream loud tonight. Can you hear my voice this time? This is my fight.
With your girl Adubia Brichum. Geek Squad is brought to you by MTN. MTN, everywhere you go. We are in the month of March, and I just want to say a very big thank you to Kenneth Awotrindako for sitting in for me the past few weeks. In the month of March, happy new month to you wherever you are joining us, whether you're in your car, at home, online, because you are live on YouTube and on Facebook at Joy 99.7 FM. In the month of March, we celebrate International Women's Day. And for us on Geek Squad, it's very important that we shine the spotlight on women who are revolutionizing the tech industry. So tonight, I'm going to have a conversation with a female. She's a founder of BeTech Connected. But before I introduce her and we get into our conversation where she's going to inspire both you and I, we would like to share with you the emerging tech trends. So take a listen to the emerging tech trends. We will be back after that.
Hello and welcome to Emerging Tech Trends on Joy Geek Squad. My name is Shola Sechi. Coming up, Lenovo's new concept laptop can be charged by the sun. Microsoft is shutting down Skype in favor of Teams. And Microsoft again releases a Copilot app for Mac. And finally, Instagram's Reels may get its own app. Now let's dive into details. Lenovo unveiled the Yoga Solar PC, a concept laptop with a solar panel on its lid at Mobile World Congress. The device can charge using any light source with the best result in sunlight. While there are no production plans yet, Lenovo's ThinkBook Plus Gen 6, initially shown as a concept in 2023, is set to launch in June 2025. And Microsoft is shutting down Skype in May and replacing it with a free version of Microsoft Teams for consumers. Skype users can log into Teams to access their chats, contacts, and message history without creating a new account, or they can export their data. Microsoft will also phase out